Little Lake Street Dive, right there from their new album. It's called Free Yourself Up. And you're listening to Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. I am Juliet Fromholt, so happy to welcome tonight's guests into the studio. You might have heard their name on the air a couple of different times over the past few months. And when I first heard it, I was like, yes, tell me more. I must know more about this band. And I had it on very good authority from Ricky from Starving in the Belly of the Whale and from the Winterfolk crew. They're like, yes, you are correct in your assumption that you need to know more, you need to hear more, and you need to have this band on the air. And we're so grateful that they traveled a bit of a distance to be here. We're going to get to know them here in just a moment. But first, we've got Bloody Tambourine and the Musical Mafia in the studio, and they're going to play some live music for us. Take it away, y'all.
Walking alone, where ivy did grow among the headstones. He took her in, but could never have guessed the shape of the thing which peeped beneath her breast. The millionaire's wife. The millionaire's wife. Dark were her eyes and ghostly her frame. The spirit of which did bear him away. He bought her such gifts, so rare and so fine. He lavished affection, she bided her time. The millionaire's wife. For true, yes, it must be. Love such as this, he felt not the serpent nor its poisonous kiss. He gave her a ring, said with this I thee wed. She gave him a coffin for which in weeks he was dead. Millionaire's wife. He was born in blood. His mother cried much too young. He will follow you. Wherever you are, he will wait for you. What have you done to meet his knife? Maybe he saw you take her life. Wherever you are, he will keep you for you. Wherever you are, you will care no more. He takes his right hand and cuts you down, watching. Shining
Dream a little dream, drip, drip, dream. Dream one for me. Dream a little dream, drip, drip, dream. Dream one for me.
And in the murder of your eyes, there is a pale moonlight. At the first sign of light, I always die inside. Dream a little dream, drip, drip, dream.
Dream one for me. Dream one for me.
And in the murder of your eyes,
there is a pale moonlight.
At the first sign of light,
I always die inside. Dream a little dream, drip, drip, dream. Dream one for me.
And in the murder of your eyes,
there is a pale moonlight.
At the first sign of light,
I always die inside.
Bloody Tambourine and the Musical Mafia live on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. So this is half the band, is it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, welcome. Welcome. So I, as I said when I introduced you, first of all, when I heard the name, I think you were playing at a bill on the Yellow Cab with, I can't remember if it was Starving in the Belly of the Whale or if it was Winter Folk, but I was like, okay, tell me more. I am quite interested. And I was quite happy to learn that there is an actual Bloody Tambourine, which we'll get to in a moment. But let's start at the beginning. Tell me a little bit about how this project came together.
It actually started with a Bloody Tambourine, or an alleged Bloody Tambourine. Our drummer, Derek, one day found this tambourine on his porch, and it had like this itty-bitty brown spot on it that he swore was blood, which it could be anything. I mean, it could be wine or...
It's kind of some watery stuff. If it's blood, it's really watery.
Well, it was kind of suspicious how the tambourine arrived on his porch, and we still don't know how... We have a hunch, but we don't really know where it came from. But then he was like jokingly kind of like, dude, there's blood on this tambourine. Is the Musical Mafia out to get me? And we were like, that's it. That's our band, Bloody Tambourine and the Musical Mafia.
It's perfect.
And then from there, we kind of started. I was really into ragtime at the time. I still am. And I really wanted to like write songs in ragtime style. And then we had some friends who like gave us a couple songs that we arranged. And then we started writing in the style. And then a friend of ours named Joel Thomas Miller wrote a play called Bloody Tambourine, and we were like the house band in the play, and that's how we debuted the music at the Fort Wayne Fringe Festival. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
And so from there, from sort of debuting the project, now I know you've been playing, you know, kind of all over the place. You've come to Dayton a couple of times. You play in Chicago now and again. How has the band kind of developed from Bloody Tambourine to Fringe Festival to now? What does kind of the picture look like these days?
Well, we just keep writing music for it, and we keep touring with the band. And I think, I don't know, Hope and I play in a different band called Silbo Gamero, and it's, I don't know, I feel like Bloody Tambourine's really, I think when we started it, it felt like a Halloween thing, and that's it. It's got a lot of like horror elements to the lyrics, almost pretty much every song. And I think we just wanted to do like a Halloween thing, but then we just kept playing it. Like it was like halfway through the year and we were still playing shows and people like it, which I wasn't sure it would carry past like the Halloween, you know, a month. But so then we started writing for it, and I think it's easy. I don't know. It's freeing for me, at least, to write music for the band, just because it is. It does kind of have like a. It's easy to start. It's a big limitation to start with, and then I don't know. We really like to work with a wide variety of influences with the same, you know, with the same topic. So I don't know. It just, it definitely feels easy to write for, which I don't know. I just enjoy writing for it.
It was really easy to keep the band together, considering we also had like a couple other bands with pretty much the same people, like maybe one or two members different. So we've all worked together quite a bit, not only within Bloody Tambourine, but in other projects as well.
That's got to help to have that, you know, musical compatibility already from other projects and translate it over. I was going to ask, I'm glad you mentioned that you're all kind of in other bands together. The three of you sing together really beautifully, and you're singing together in a way that's different than, you know, your traditional rock and roll harmonies, and you've got like a lot of different time signatures happening between the piano and the vocals and the other elements. Was that something that was fairly easy to develop those vocal stylings when you started the band, given that you have all worked together in various projects, or was that something that took some time to get that down?
I feel like it came together pretty quickly. Yeah. Sarah and I, we've all been friends for a really long time, and then Sarah and I have been singing together for a pretty long time. I don't know how many, like at least 10 years or something, I feel like.
At least 6 or 7.
Yeah, and so it kind of just fell into place, really.
And we all come from like pretty classic, for the most part, we come from classical music backgrounds. And like our other vocalist, Brianna Gamble, who's not here tonight, is like an operatic singer. And then Sarah will just come out with like these crazy harmonies that we didn't even like. We like just like one rehearsal, we were playing one of the songs, and then like Sarah started singing this crazy harmony, and we were like, oh wow, that's amazing. And why haven't we been doing it like that for like the last year? You just made that song like way better. Mm-hmm. So Dream a Little Dream.
Oh.
Yeah. That's a song that our drummer wrote like a long time ago, and his girlfriend heard it and like made fun of him and thought it was really stupid.
So he didn't play it for years.
Oh no.
And so we love it. And so we started playing it, and then we just have kind of brought this like huge energy to that song that has like kept that alive in spite of that girlfriend.
It's a song of spite, but also love.
It can be many things to many people.
Yes.
Well, in talking about songs like Dream a Little Dream, and you mentioned that the formula is there when you're writing, I'm curious, having Ragtime as a basis, and you said, you know, there's a lot of horror elements and things, I personally find that like having a writing prompt or something like that makes me even more creative. And you know, having those little limitations forces me to, you know, kind of blow it out in completely different ways. Do you find that given your sound and some of the things that are kind of, you know, elements of the band, do you find that those actually bring more creativity, having, you know, some slight limitations or parameters in your writing?
I'd say so. I think for me it's just I'm really bad at lyrics, and like almost all the songs that we have are like based on all the ones that we wrote pretty much are based on specific real stories. So I think it was just, I mean, I grew up just being obsessed with like having fun at night with friends, but like casually and not like breaking the law necessarily, but just like kind of spooking each other and going to different locations around like small town area, you know. And I just feel like I have a ton of nostalgia attached to Halloween and everything about it and the energy that comes with the, you know, the season. And I think it's just really natural for me, and I otherwise I'm not good at lyrics, so I don't think I'm necessarily any better anymore, but I have something like specific to write about, and it's okay to just tell a story with this band, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In terms of, you know, you mentioned this was going to be a Halloween thing, and you know, that it was kind of going to be of the season, and you just kept going. With your sound, I feel like at least you can fit in so many places. You know, there's that Halloween vibe. Certainly, I was kind of thinking, gosh, I wish I was still booking the variety show I used to book, because you know that you would fit perfectly in that. But you could also certainly fit on a folk bill or the right kind of rock bill. Do you find that your sound opens you up to more possibilities in terms of gigs, or does it make it a little more specific? Hmm.
I think we're always wondering that. Yeah. We're always like worried that maybe we're
like too, like, yeah, kind of like it's too stuck in the genre or something. But yeah,
I feel like we've been on a decent amount of bills with a wide range of things going on.
Yeah, I think we're really starting to come into our niche here, and mm-hmm, it seems like we've been fitting into a lot of different avenues. So that's kind of, I think the fact that it is kind of such a unique concept has really kind of helped open doors a little bit.
Yeah. Well, and I think that the we have a lot of songs that are a little bit different that we're not necessarily playing tonight. But so a lot of them, I don't know, I think they're pretty adventurous, and they definitely go away from the ragtime. Like, ragtime piano is always there, I think, but it's not... We're not a period. We're not trying to write in the period. And I think I've always been like really hard about that specifically, because I really don't want to be that band. Nothing against anything like that, but it just wouldn't satisfy me if I felt like I had to like write within a time period and keep it, you know, old school. But I just feel like in a way it like kind of frees me to try weird things. It's like, what if I do this guitar part, and like I'll just write it, and then I'll throw it to Hope, and then she'll just be like, have to figure out how ragtime can fit in with
that's
that.
That's a really fun part for me.
And a lot of that's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I really like taking the like traditional ragtime rhythms and harmonies and stuff and adapting them to pop songs. It's a really fun challenge.
One of the songs in that we play in some of our sets, we actually have a Radiohead cover that we do.
Nice.
And we turned it into ragtime.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Well, it's got to be an interesting challenge for you, Hope, especially, but for the rest of the band to figure out like how prominent is the piano or the ragtime element of the piano in any song, because I would think that you could either, you know, lead with it and make it sort of the primary rhythm and melody, or you could tone it back and have it be an element of a song where the guitar is taking the lead or the vocals are really shining. Are you tackling songs in that way? Or
I don't think we're ever really thinking about it like that. I think we're more just like honoring what the music needs to be. And then however it comes out, and we'll just throw different ideas around until we get into a groove and feel comfortable together with it.
Yeah, like I said before, we always have like stories involved. So I feel like we're just thinking about the story and trying to figure out what the tone is, and mm-hmm, if we need to jump around. Some of our songs jump around because of that, because mm-hmm, right now it's a totally different mood in this point in the story.
Really good example of that is one we're going to play on our second set, which is called The End of the World. So last Halloween season, we composed a bunch of songs that kind of tell the story of Kurt's upbringing. And he can probably say it better than I can, but there were three different spooky places he'd go to, and one was Spook Hill, which we were going to play, one was The End of the World, one was Founding Father's Grave, and then there was a place called The Ramble Inn, and each one has a song, and they are all connected with his childhood of going to places for the purpose of being spooked. And so anyway, The End of the World, it was this drive. Kurt, you talk about it. I don't know, the end of the world? Yeah.
Oh,
at least what it is for sure.
Yeah,
I don't think I've heard this story.
It's just this, like, it was just like this place where you'd go in your car. Like most like haunted hangouts, you like go and like get, it's usually like by foot or you get there in car and get out. But this one was like specifically experienced in the car, and it was a road out in the middle of nowhere near Kendallville, or just like just right outside of Kendallville, Indiana. And it's just this path that goes down to a pond, and it's like a public boat launch or something into this small pond. And when you're driving, it's a one lane thing, so you just kind of have to hope that no one else is coming the other way. And to experience the end of the world, it's even best to do it without your headlights on, so it's even worse, because you're just like, I hope that there's not someone doing the end of the world right now while I'm driving back. And so you basically, it's this road that you drive down, and you speed up and speed up, and then when you hit this certain point in the road, it goes over a little bump, and then there's a point where everything just kind of drops out and you don't see anything. Like, it just looks like there's no more earth. And so we called it the end of the world. I don't know who, that's what's fascinating about all of these places, is they've all existed before me. You know, I mean, like, you would just hear about them. You'd go to school. I went to East Noble High School, and you would just hear about Spook Hill, and you'd hear about all these places. And, you know, like, one week I'd go to my dad's for the weekend in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and then I'd go back home to the smaller town, and then suddenly my friends have heard of this like new place that we didn't know about before, and so suddenly that's like the place to go and try out.
Yeah, so the song, the end of the world song, we definitely tried to capture elements of that story in the music itself. So it starts out like really tense with this guitar part where you don't know where it's going to go harmonically, and the way we perform it, it's different every time, because we didn't plan out the exact amount of bars he plays the motive, and I'm just kind of winging it on the vocals rhythmically and stuff, and then it kind of segues into the chorus, and then there's a section at the end, and I don't want to give too much away because you're going to hear it, but there's a section at the end that's kind of supposed to be when everything drops out and there's no earth underneath you. And so that's the kind of storytelling we try to do through the music itself in our songs, but incorporating all the ragtime. And I don't think that answers your initial question, but we went on a tangent.
But I loved that tangent, is the thing. I love that tangent. And now I'm thinking of like all the places in the Miami Valley that would be like the end of the world. You know, mm-hmm. we have Carpenter's Road and Fudge Road and all of this. And I'm like, ooh, now I want you guys to write songs about this.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we could.
There you go. Well, tell me a little bit about, you know, what is summer and into fall looking like for the band?
We are working on an album, I guess. We're trying to record a full length or a feature length. Because right now we have like a 5-song EP or something. And we just recorded that in Hope's house and mixed it and mastered it and just tried to do the best we can. And I think we're going to do that same thing this time, because it kind of just lends itself to the music to not be like super clean recordings. But yeah, I think we're going to work on recording all these new songs and then re-recording those old ones and creating a whole collection.
Mm-hmm. We're talking a little bit about maybe doing a spooky Christmas album.
Ooh, yes, yes, please. I'd like to put in my request for that right now.
Our drummer was, we just had practice on Monday, and our drummer was telling me about one of his ideas for a song. He said, oh, it's the darkest thing I've ever written. He went through it. I'm like, oh, that's really depressing. Yeah, I know.
It's really depressing. It's perfect.
Yeah.
It's
great. Yeah. And then we're working on a few gigs out of town, and we're trying to put together maybe another little Halloween tour just to maximize the season and stuff and keep our, I don't know, keep
spooky
our band
roots.
Active. Spooky roots.
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. So. If folks want to keep tabs on a forthcoming album and where you're going to be when you might be coming to a city near them, where's the best place for them to do that?
I'd say look us up on Facebook. We don't have a website yet.
We have like a haunted Tumblr sitting around somewhere that we made like forever ago, and I it probably has like an email box that has emails in it that I've never looked at, because we put it up for the EP and then I just never looked it up again.
I mean, really, what else are you gonna find on the internet called Bloody Tambourine in the Musical.
It's true.
I've tried Googling it. It goes straight to...
Right. But yeah, we do have the EP on Bandcamp, and then the Facebook is where we post all of our events and things. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've got a link up to their Facebook page on our Facebook page. We're at facebook.com/kaleidoscope radio. You can go there and connect with our guests. They are Bloody Tambourine and the Musical Mafia. And what do you think? We gave that song some introduction. Shall we hear some more live music?
Sure.
All right. We've got Bloody Tambourine and the Musical Mafia in the house here on Kaleidoscope on WISO. Take it away, y'all.
Such is the force of habit. Let them dine on rabbit. Serve the serpent's jaws unhinged. What's a meal among friends? With candelabra lighted and all the guests invited have brought out their tongues. Forks up, everyone. Partake of it. The wine it has an almond scent. Let us all partake of it. Let us all partake of it. Let us all partake of it.
Dogs out. There'll be no famished hounds now, licking legs or nibbling on toes. I know you like things to be just so.
The wine it had an almond scent, and we all partook of it. The wine it had an almond scent. And we all partook of it. And we all partook of it.
To be part of that picture, let me in on your adventure.
Okay, buckle up, I'll show you the right way.
I'm gonna try to
on our way now, no turning back. I see it coming, here it is now.
Okay, here it is, just follow the pathway. We're gonna drive off the edge.
Enter the field of time and age. His knights on the hill.
Bloody Tambourine and the Musical Mafia live on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. Connect with them at their Facebook page. We've got a link on our Facebook page, facebook.com/kaleidoscoperadio. Go there and click that like button so you can find out when their forthcoming album is released and when they might be coming to a city near you on perhaps a Halloween tour, something for us to look forward to. In the meantime, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much for making the trip and gracing us with some live music on tonight's show.
The pleasure's all ours. Thank you.